You know, one of my greatest fears is that I trip coming up here. But I didn't, so it was good. Good morning. What a wonderful day it is to worship our God. You know, we just got done with the gospel meeting. And when I was young, when I was a kid, I hated gospel meetings. I didn't, the idea of having to go into church more than once or twice a week, it was excruciating to me. But like I heard one time, I was a drug baby. I got drugged to and back and forth to church all the time. But you know what? This past week was a good week. There's something about gathering together every day with brothers and sisters. There's something about it that it refills me, and it does me a lot of good. And I needed it. And I don't know about y'all, but I felt like Dan was kind of like a basketball coach. You know, during halftime. And so, you know, he sent me out, and I'm ready to go to work. And like John 4:35 says, the fields are ripe for harvest, and there is a lot of work for us to do. I'd like to thank the elders for having gospel meetings. I know some people don't think they're relevant, especially a full week, but I sure do enjoy it. Let's turn there in the Bible. It says John 5:54-60. John 6:54-60. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Now let's skip down to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, this passage is fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me because of the disciples that walked away. I haven't thought about them too much. But if you look back in the very chapter, Jesus got done feeding the 5,000. Jesus had walked, said, 4 to 5 miles across water. And in verse 21, he basically teleported the boat. He took the boat from one point and he took it all the way to shore. It says it was there 1 minute and then it was gone to the shore. But yet, he says some hard things to understand. And some of the disciples, they don't take time to understand them. They just quit. I don't know about you, but if I had seen the things that Jesus had done, if he told me that I had to eat of his flesh, as much as I would, I might have started chewing on his arm. But these disciples walked with him no more, After seeing these signs that Jesus had done, they walked with him no more. They quit. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" This is quite a proclamation, especially seeing that a lot of the disciples quit, and he just asked you to eat of his body. Peter examined the evidence. He looked at what Jesus had, and he came to the conclusion that there is no other way. I think that's one of the most important things we need to consider in our day-to-day life, but that's one of the most, that's what I want you to consider today. Is to whom shall we go? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that we should examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. You know, this is something that we do daily, whether we realize it or not. When confronted with sin, there's always a choice. We can go with the world or we can go with Jesus. And we may do this multiple times during the day. This morning, I'm going to be talking to the young people mainly. You young people, I think right now is the most important time that you can examine yourselves. I think you need to look at what the world has to offer and what Jesus has to offer. Especially young Christians who are living under the roof of your parents. There's no better time than right now to weigh your options. You have to choose at some point. And Matthew 6:24 says, "You cannot serve two masters." You need to look at the options right now, because you don't want to be confronted with this when you leave home. When you head to college, when you head to your first job, there will be things that you see, there will be temptations that you run across that you may have never confronted. And you don't want that to be the time that you choose. There was a Lifeway research poll, and I heard this in the Truth Lectureship, and so I looked into it. It claims that 66% of Christians between the ages of 18 to 22 will stop attending church services regularly. 66%. Now, granted, I know this was done by it was done by a denominational organization, but in my experience, that seems to be about right. 66%. Now, the poll isn't addressing those who might come back later in life. We need to be honest with our faith right now and address our doubts. Or just like those disciples, when things get hard, we might quit. We might walk with Jesus no longer. To whom shall we go? Shall we turn to the world? There will be times in your life when you'll look around. You will see what people have. You will see what your friends have. Your friends that don't go to church. You will see their perceived happiness. You will see the things that their parents let you see, let them watch. You'll see celebrities on TV. You'll see football players, baseball players. You'll see their fame and fortune. This can look pleasing to us. Then you may look at your grandparents or your parents. Their lives look pretty lame. And you might ask yourself, to whom shall we go? I want to pull back the curtains of the world just a little bit this morning. To whom shall we go? What if we turn to alcohol? That may seem odd to be one of the first things I talk about that you'll be confronted with, but it probably is. It seems that the world thinks that this is the only way to live. that you cannot survive if you don't drink. Just go to some of your neighbor's houses sometime for a cookout. Just turn on your TV and watch a football game. Go to a college football game. Everybody's drinking. It seems like you cannot survive without drinking. However, something that's kind of missed is alcohol is the deadliest drug in the United States. Over 380 deaths each day due to excessive alcohol use. 60% of people who abuse their spouses are intoxicated. 60%. I actually thought that number would be higher. The large majority of children who are physically and sexually abused, their parents were on alcohol. A large majority of unwanted pregnancies, alcohol played a huge factor. There are many, many other problems that can occur with alcohol use. You could put drug use in there too. It's the same thing. To who shall we go? Shall we go to money? It's easy to put our job first. It's easy to turn to our job. The world tells us that this is right. The world tells us that the more we buy, the more we own, the harder we strive, the better we are. Yet there's no satisfaction with money. The more you own, the more you pay. The more you buy, the more you owe. The more you spend, the more you make it think, it makes you think you're happy, but it's fleeting. You'll get it home for a little bit and then you want something more. Or you want the gadget to fit the gadget that you just bought. Solomon, who is the richest person to ever live, said all is vanity and grasping to the wind. Happiness is not in wealth. To whom shall we go? Shall we go to fame? The world is obsessed with famous people. When asking middle school kids what they want to be when they grow up, the most popular answer is famous. And it's no wonder. You know, we plug kids in the TV and in the iPads, and what do they look at? Famous people. However, famous people are plagued with drug use and depression, alcoholism, and every form of toxic activity that is known to man. Lady Gaga, of all people, once said that fame is a prison that I can't escape. Eric Clapton once said, I had everything, every woman, every car, every dime that I could ever want. And I wanted to commit suicide every day. There are countless stories from celebrities just like this. Take a look at Robin Williams, Michael Jackson, Elvis, Kurt Cobain, and the list goes on. People who have everything. You young people, look at whoever you're watching on TV. Rest assured, those young people will have problems, and they'll have major problems. They seem to have everything, yet they destroy themselves. Fame is not the answer. How about we turn to the wisdom of the world? That seems like a great place to turn. However, that's what we do. You know, one way you can look at this is just look at the divorce rate in the United States. It's 50%. 50%. And the world tells us this is a good and normal thing. This is what you do. You test it out if it doesn't work, no matter what stage of it, and you leave them if you have to. 50%. However, divorce can absolutely ruin those who are involved. 70% of incarcerated inmates come from broken homes. Almost 100% of the school shooters come from a fractured family. This is what the world tells you is normal. This is what you're striving for. Today, it's widely accepted for a girl to be a boy to be a girl. It's accepted for you to be a cat, a dog if you want to. Anything will go. It doesn't matter. Whatever makes you happy. The morality changes daily, and this is considered normal. This is what you're taught on TV. What they don't show you, 82% of trans kids have considered killing themselves. And 40% have tried. And those are the ones that are reported. And the world considers this normal. The world considers you abnormal if you don't agree with this. To whom shall we go? Or how about we turn to science? That seems like a great place to turn. The world tells us that there is no God, no creator, no meaning, nothing to live for. Only emptiness in the end. Richard Dawkins once wrote, "The universe that we observe has precisely the properties that we should expect. No design, no purpose, no evil, no good. Nothing but pitiless indifference." That's what the world offers. That's what they want you to have. That's what your college teachers want you to have. That's what some of your high school teachers want you to have. They want you to have nothing in the end. To whom shall we turn? How about we turn to friends, animals, school, sports? How about politics? The list goes on. These things will fail you. Your friends will fail you eventually. Your parents can fail you. Sports will fail you. Your body will fail you. Politicians, of course, will lie to you and fail you. Turning to the world will always fail. Any satisfaction that you receive will be short-lived. In 2020, the United States, there were 1.2 million suicide attempts. Like I said earlier, those are just that are reported. Let me ask you something. Do you think any of those suicide attempts were because they spent too much time in worship? Or maybe too much time in prayer? Maybe they spent too much time singing praises to God. Is that why they tried to kill themselves? This seems silly, but that's something we need to ask ourselves. Of course not, that's the reason. The majority of these attempts were because of an extreme sense of hopelessness. Do you think that has something to do with everybody teaching us that there is nothing? There's nothing in the end. The weight of sin is overwhelming. It will crush you. You cannot bear it alone. You can mask it with drugs, alcohol, possessions, material things, friends. But then in the end, it will destroy you. You will die lonely and afraid. To whom shall we go? Christ is the only answer. In Christ, we have happiness, contentment, a purpose. If we are living in Christ, we have hope. All the things the world offers you will leave you thirsty for more. Never contented, always searching. You will have a deep thirst that cannot be satisfied. The only thing that will quench that thirst is the living water that Christ provides. And we're here today to worship that God. We're here to drink of that living water that Christ provides. John 4:14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I give you will never thirst." I ask you, brethren, to whom shall you go? Thank you.